Hey, you know, there's a great line in that song which really sets us up for this series that talks about how where you invest your love, that's where you invest your life. And that's what we're going to be talking about over these next few weeks. Really excited you're here this morning with us. My name's Kurt, by the way. If we haven't had a chance to meet, it's great to have you here with us at Crosspoint. And if this is your first time with us today, man, I don't know that there's a better weekend to join us because we're really going to be talking about some things that are at the center of the heart of what Crosspoint's all about. And get this, we're kicking off Beans and Rice Week 2018. Anybody excited about this? Seriously? Anybody excited? Holy cow. Some of you have been asking for beans and rice because we missed it last year. And so we'll talk more about that in a bit in terms of how you can participate. But over these next 2 weeks, we're really going to be, I'm going to be sharing some of the things God's been putting on our leadership's hearts and really bringing into focus for me in terms of where God is calling us to next. So let me pray for us before we dive into this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, this beautiful Sunday morning. There's so many places we could be right now. And yet we're sitting here, many of us in this dark room, because we're going after something. We're going after you in some way, shape, or form. We want to see you at work in our lives, in our world. And God, we're all at different places in our spiritual journey. We don't begin to assume that we're in the same place. But God, we do believe that you meet us where we are. And God, I just pray today that you would help us to see how you invite us into what you're doing. Regardless of where we are in our spiritual journey, you invite us into this big overarching thing you're doing in the world. And so God, I just pray that you give us a unique encounter with you. I pray these things according to your character and your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, today, we're gonna kick off and start in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, we got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four authorized biographers of Jesus' life. And then the next book in the Bible is Acts. And this kind of chronicles the Acts of the Apostles or the disciples after Jesus' time here on earth. Now, where we pick up in the story today, Jesus is still here. Jesus had died. He'd been resurrected. He's now meeting with his team. He's giving them some final FaceTime, about 40 days or so, before he returns to heaven for the final time. And so here's what it says in Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. And he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, just look at this conversation right here. This is Jesus' final conversation. This is his concluding conversation with his team. This is like the last time he's going to talk to them physically in the flesh. He's been crucified. He died. He was laid in a grave. He's now resurrected back to life. And now he's showing himself to the disciples. He's like, hey, in case you're wondering if that really took place, look at my hands. If you need to put your finger in the wounds, go ahead and try it out. I'm here. Really happened. And you know how it's easy to get like nostalgic in moments like this, like when you're saying goodbye for the final time, at least for the time, right? I mean, they're probably hanging out talking. He's like, yeah, you know, when I leave, man, I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit. And he's like, listen, guys, you're gonna dig the Holy Spirit. You really are. I mean, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. All right, because man, when the Spirit comes, there's going to be some amazing things that are going to happen through you. All right, and I'm sure he's super excited about this, right? And so one of the disciples, we don't know which one it is, Luke is writing this. Luke's recording these events. He doesn't tell us which disciple asked this question because these guys are like so literal, they miss it half the time. And so I don't think he wants to throw anybody under the bus. But this is what happens. It says, they gathered around him, being Jesus, and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. So one of them, we don't know who it is, says, you know, Jesus, this whole thing you're doing right now, is this all for right here? Is this all for Israel? And Jesus is like, seriously? Like, what are you talking about? Like, you just saw me die. You saw me go into the ground. You saw me come out of the ground. And now I'm back here talking to you. I've given you this whole vision. And you want to know if this is for your little city and people group right here? Seriously, like, can you not get your mind on bigger things? He says, no, but you will receive a power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is like, no, this thing's way bigger than just Israel. This thing's way bigger than just right here. I mean, seriously, did you think that I did all this just for like us right here? It says, after he said that, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And so I'm just picturing Jesus in frustration almost. He makes like Iron Man or Superman. He's like, I'm out. And he just like takes off, whoosh, you know, right up into the sky. And the disciples, they watch him like start going up to heaven, and they're just standing down there. Oh, there's like, there he goes. I mean, they're just standing down there, and like one of them, I'm guessing, is like, dude, why did you ask that question? They still go, why could you not have kept your mouth shut? Like, seriously, dude, like, come on, like, did you have to ask that right now? There he goes. And then it says they were looking intently, or I love what the King James Version says. It says they were standing there gazing. They were gazing, watching him go up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? King James Version says, why do you stand there gazing? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus is like, I'm out. He's like, takes off, right? Picture superhero movies, right? Somehow, shape, or form. He just goes up. And he's like, you know, this is it, right? This is like his final interaction with Earth in the physical form, right? And he's going up. You know what it's like going to your hometown, right? Remember like when you go home for Christmas and you're like all excited rolling into town, and you know, you're gonna see people you hadn't seen in a while. And I mean, Jesus, I'm sure he's going up, and the clouds are parting. It says the clouds hit him, the gates or whatever are starting to open, and Jesus is like entering into heaven, right? And the angels are all coming around. High five, what's up, Jesus? They're like, you know, fist bumping. And he's like, Gabriel, we haven't, you know, let's do lunch. We haven't seen each other forever. I mean, this, it's like you're returning home, right? That's what it's like for Jesus. And then it's almost like he gives the final gaze. You know the final look back, like when you're going on and you're never going back, you kind of do the, you know, he kind of looks back, just see what's going on. And he's looking and he's like, God, he's like looking down for us, and he tells two angels, he's like, hey, get down there, tell those guys to quit gazing and get to work. And so the disciples, they're just down there still like this. They're just standing down, they're gazing, and they're down there, and all of a sudden they get tapped on the shoulder, and they're like, what? And the angel says to them, why you stand here gazing? What are you doing? Why are you gazing into the air? And you know, I think one of the things that causes us to you know, not see the bigger thing that God wants us to do is so many times we just get caught gazing. We get stuck looking at what was. And you know, I'm sure they were like, remember the time when Jesus did this, or remember when we were out on the water? And Jesus is just like, why are you gazing? Get to work. See this whole idea of going and gazing. There's a great commercial on TV right now, by the way. If you've been watching March Madness, you've seen it. And it speaks to this idea of choosing to go. If you haven't seen it, take a look right here.
New developments in the top story of the day. The world has stopped turning on its axis. Top scientists are currently racing to come up with a solution.
Let's go!
Let's go.
The idea is that the power of the foot will propel the planet back into its proper motion.
Let's go!
Why's everybody going this way?
You sure about this?
Let's go.
This just in. Everyone is running the wrong way. Repeat. You're running the wrong way.
Let's go.
I knew I was right. You got through the whole thing again.
Man, isn't Kevin Hart awesome? I mean, he's like, I knew it, we're going the wrong way, I knew it. See, I think one of Jesus' greatest fears in this moment right here, one of his greatest fears is that he would look down in that final gaze. He'd be like, hey, you guys are running the wrong way. You're running the wrong way. You're missing the bigger thing. See, so oftentimes we have success, and we define success as, oh man, look at how we're doing here. I mean, look at Crosspoint, man. We got more and more people in the seats, parking lots fuller and fuller. I mean, you know, we're financially doing pretty good. I mean, you know, pretty comfortable place, and people are engaged. We got great kids' environments and kick butt music and great coffee and all these things. And when things are going well, it's easy to get complacent. Jesus knew that. It's easy when, you know, we see more and more people connecting to be like, oh man, we're heading in a good direction. You know, oh, remember, oh, look at what's happening. And it's not that these things are bad. It's just that I think the point of what Jesus is saying here is we get so focused gazing on what's happening, we fail to see what's bigger and in front of us. That I've got a bigger dream. He says, hey, when I come to you, you're going to receive a power, and you're going to go not only from Jerusalem or your city or fishers, but to Judea, the region, and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. It's almost like he's saying, why are you so focused on one place? That's not the goal. See, I want you to help people become followers here and maybe become disciples so that you can develop people so that they can lead like you lead and they can live like you live so they can be sent to other places and do what you do. And so Jesus is just trying to get them, those disciples, to buy into, and he's trying to get us, I believe, to buy into, I've got something way bigger in store for you. Two things that kind of get in the way of us seeing the bigger thing that God has for us. Number one is when we focus on the small things, we often miss the bigger vision. When we focus on the small things, we often miss the bigger dream. See, Jesus right here, he's painting a picture, right, of how this thing that he's began, he's handed the keys off to this team, and how he's going to transform the hearts of people all across the world. And guess what they're doing? They're still bringing up Israel. They're like, is this for just us, like here and now? See, when you focus on the smaller things, you miss the bigger thing. When we focus on the math, they're probably going, I don't know how we're going to take this thing beyond Israel. I don't know how we're going to take it beyond our city. We focus on the math and the logistics, you get stuck right there. It's like we looked at a few weeks ago when Jesus handed the disciples brought the two fish and the five loaves of bread and said, you know, they said, we have 5,000 people to feed. This is all we got. And Jesus is like, well, give it to me. Just bring me what you have. And he just gives it, he tears it up and gives it back to them. And they're like, well, we don't know how to feed 5,000 people. He said, I didn't ask you to do that. I just want you to do what you know how to do. Just turn around, start passing it out. And what do you know? Jesus does his work and all of a sudden 5,000 plus people get fed. And then right after that, you know, Jesus was, you know, sent them out on the water, and they're sitting out on the water, and Jesus comes walking to them, and Peter sees it, and he's like, Jesus, if that's you, invite me out to you. And Jesus says, come, and Peter's like, I don't know how to walk on water, but I do know how to put one foot and then the other foot over the side of the boat and start walking, and then Jesus, I'm going to trust you with the rest. See, so many times we get stuck in the logistics and the details of, I don't know how this is going to work out, and we miss that we're just called to do what we know how to do and trust that God will take care of the rest. And see, sometimes when God wants us to see this bigger thing, bigger than we could ever ask or imagine, we just get stuck in the math and the logistics. And we get stuck in the math and the logistics and the details, we actually miss the destiny. I have four kids, 15, 11, 13, and 8. And man, our home is always, you know, hopping with activity. And one of my favorite moments of the day is coming home at the end of the day, usually at least. You know, every now and then, you know those days when you walk into the house and it's just crazy? It's like the crazy-making time, right? Like 3 to 6 o'clock or so. You know, it's like you walk in and the home's just crazy and you're just like, you're like Jesus. You're like, I'm out, going back to the office. All right, I can't handle this right here. Well, you know, usually, you know, we have some pretty cool nights and, you know, look forward to the evening when I'm home. But on one particular night a number of months ago, I came home and it was just crazy. I mean, everybody's on each other, you know, chattering at each other, antagonizing, the whole bit. And usually when I walk in and that's going on, I go into like direct and correct mode. You know what direct and correct mode is? It's like when you're like, quit doing that. Why are you doing that? Do your homework. And you, quit biting her. And I'm not talking to the dog usually. Quit biting her. Why are you doing that? You know, you like start correcting and directing. And so on this particular day, I just said, since everybody was kind of at the end of their rope and feeling maybe disrespected because the way they're treating each other, I thought, I'm going to try something different, which is out of my norm, at least coming home. And so I thought, I'm going to try to get down on their level and just try to empathize and, okay, what's going on? And, what, you know, how was your day? And so, you know, just kind of went around each kid and was talking with them, and it really started leveling things out. So by the time we got to dinner, we actually, everything was pretty good. And, you know, we have this conversation at dinner every night about memorable moments from the day, and that went pretty well. And so after dinner, you know, we go up and start getting the kids ready for bed. And one of my younger daughters, I just sit down on the bed with her. And I said, you know, how was your day? And she looked at me, and I said, no, like, really, how was your day? Because this daughter, I'm going to try to keep her nameless, she can turn our family on a dime. I mean, she has a power, I tell you. Ever since she was a baby, when she was a baby, she'd cry, and everybody else was like, make it stop, just do whatever to make it stop, because our family could go from a great moment to a terrible moment like that. And so, you know, I said to her, I said, you know, how was your day? Like, really, how was your day? And she said, well, you know, Dad, it was my friends. I mean, they were kind of mean today. I'm like, I could tell. Like, you came home and were kind of mean to everybody. And it made me wonder if somebody was, because hurt people, right? And she said, yeah, I made a mistake today. And when my friends got all over me, and I was, you know, and I just felt like nobody liked me. And I just looked at her and said, you know what? Do you realize that I have days like that? She said, really? I said, yeah, I come home sometimes. I feel like nobody likes me. Or, you know, it's just, you feel like you've done stuff to screw stuff up all day. And she's like, really? I said, yeah. And I just pulled her close and I kissed her on the forehead. I said, hey, listen, I want you to know, whenever you have days like that, that your mom and dad, that we're always in your court. And when you make mistakes, there's nothing you can do to ever make us love you more. And there's honestly nothing you could do to make us love you less. Like, we're always going to be there. And here's the cool thing. Your Heavenly Father, you have a Heavenly Father that does the same. She said, really? I said, yeah. And she looked up at me and she said, Dad. And I'm like waiting, you know. I'm like, that man, that was good. That was like a, like, I have a lot of screw-up moments that, you know, are not bragging moments. But I'm like, you know, when she's like 18 and starts like journaling, she'll blog on that one day. I mean, that's bloggable right there, right? She looks up at me. And she goes, Dad? I said, yeah. She said, you got like salad between your teeth right there. See, like in this moment, we just had a moment and all you can see is that I have salad in my teeth. And I guess what I'm trying to help us see is when we focus on the small stuff, you miss the bigger thing that God is doing. And Jesus is like, don't get stuck on the small stuff. Second thing, you know, the disciples were caught gazing. And I don't know how long it takes to get from earth to space or heaven. I don't, you know, they're just standing down there. I mean, so they gazed long enough that Jesus had to send a couple of the angels to go down and say, hey, quit gazing and go get busy. See, one of the dangers that can get in our way of seeing God's bigger dream is the danger of success, the danger and the comfort of success. See, so many times we like to gaze at past victories, and, you know, it'd be easy to sit back and go, oh, man, you know, look at, you know, 11 years ago, 2 weeks ago, we had our 11th birthday here at Cross Point 2 weeks ago. And you know, to go, oh, man, 11 years ago, we had 55, 60 people on our launch team and a pipe dream to, you know, create a place for our friends to come and people in our community to come to, you know, people who have given up on God, on church, but haven't given up on God, to come and see Jesus for who he really is and see that he wants to know them intimately in a relationship, and that God's grace is available to all of us. And 11 years later, what do you know? We have all these people here, you know, over 800 people on weekends and multiple services and, you know, building, you know, that we built a couple of years ago. All these things that it'd be easy to look at what we've accomplished and we'd miss the bigger thing that God is calling us to. In fact, one of the worst things that could happen is that we actually become more and more successful to where we begin to believe in our success instead of believing in God. Well, we begin to believe that God, the marker of God's faithfulness is how successful, you know, we apparently are, versus the mark of our faithfulness being that we're actually being obedient to what God is calling us to. Because God has so much more. It's called the Blockbuster Syndrome. Anybody remember Blockbuster out of curiosity? Everybody over 40 is like, oh yeah, you know. And so if you're under 40 or 35, like, we used to go to the store and rent these little plastic black boxes, all right? And they were about this big. It was a Blockbuster store. And then you take that black box home and you put it in another big plastic box and a movie would show up. It's crazy. Like right there on your TV. And so, you know, and sometimes you have to go to the store to get these. Like, they didn't just show up. And so sometimes it was more fun to go to the store and you'd walk through the store and there's thousands of these little black boxes on the shelves and you pick them up and, you know, mess around. It was sometimes more fun to go to the store than it was to watch the movie. All right. And so Blockbuster, get this, in 2004, they were the epitome of success. All right. 2004, they were a $4 billion corporation. All right, 90,000 employees, 6,000 stores across the country. I mean, they're the epitome of the home entertainment industry and success in that. And then this little internet startup company came to them and said, hey, we think you might want to buy us. And they're like, well, why is that? And they said, well, we're doing, you know, movie rental different. I'm like, well, how's that? And they said, well, we actually, you know, mail DVDs to people's homes, and they create a list online of what they want, and they keep it as long as they want, and you don't have to charge a late fee. You just send it back when you're done with it, and then, you know, you get the next movie, and they're like, well, why would we do that? We made like over $1 million in late fees last year. I think I was like $500,000 that particular year, right? And so they're like, why would we do that? That doesn't make sense. No, we'll pass. Well, a couple years later, this little startup company came back and they said, well, we really think you ought to buy us now. And Blockbuster's like, well, why? I said, well, not only are we like mailing DVDs to people's homes, but now you can like subscribe to our monthly service and you can like stream movies right to your device. And Blockbuster laughed at him. They're like, who would want to watch a movie on their device, right? We think we'll pass. See, they were so focused on their success of the past that they couldn't see the future and what was calling them. In 2013, Blockbuster closed its doors for the final time. Closed their final store on the island of Hawaii, late in the afternoon, 6 o'clock. And you know what the final movie that was rented from that particular location was? Very fitting. It's called This Is the End. Go figure that. How about that? Go Google that. That's a true fact right there. See, where they missed it was in the mission and the calling and the values. See, they thought they were in the VHS rental business. They weren't there. They were in the home entertainment business. If they just would have realized they were in the home entertainment business, they'd still be in business today. Listen, Crosspoint, we are not in the church building business. All right, that's not our business at all. We're in the business of helping people see Jesus for who he really is and see that he's available to them and helping people follow Jesus and so that we can help make disciples who can be equipped to learn what it means to follow God and learn what it means to serve God so that we can then send disciples to other places to replicate this in other places that have yet to have someplace like this. This past fall, I was at a conference up in Chicago, and it was called Dream Big, and at one particular session, they came out and gave us a napkin. This is why you got a napkin. So go ahead and take your napkin out, grab a pen. You may want to write down some of the things I'm going to show you right here. And basically, they said, you know, this right here is where dreams begin, right? Napkins, usually it's sitting down at a coffee shop. This is where you begin to get a dream, and you begin to walk out, okay, what's next? And so, you know, they just put this away, you know, so you can refer to it. I put it in my bag and carried it with me and thinking, well, I don't know what I'm going to put on here. We just started the Thursday service, which kind of was a birth out of that conference last year. I'm like, we're already doing some things that are stretching us and taking new territory, so on and so forth. And so I put this away. And then they read Acts 1, what I've read for you today, and they said, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will not only go, you know, be my witness in Jerusalem, but to all Judea and to the Samaria, the end of the country and to the ends of the earth. And the question that God kept kind of, you know, bothering my heart with as we looked at this verse was this question of, Kurt, why are you so focused on right here? Why are you so focused on the Jerusalem or the fishers? I mean, if Jesus says, you're going to have a power, and you don't have to understand it all, but you're going to go to the Judea and the Samaria and to the ends of the earth, why are you so focused on right here? You need to learn to begin to take and make your dream bigger. And so I felt, you know, and we've talked about this here. I mean, we talk about, you know, reproduction here at Crosspoint. And so, but this was a moment where all of a sudden, you know, I began to say, okay, what does that look like for us? Now, reproduction in church life happens two ways. All right, number one, it's through church planning, which is what we did as a church 11 years ago. It's where a startup church starts, standalone. We had partners that helped us launch, you know, help fund us and give us the leadership capacity to launch. But it's a standalone church with its own name in a new community. The other way churches are reproduced is through what's called multi-siting, where we take, for instance, we've talked a lot about this, where we take Crosspoint to another community that doesn't have anything like Crosspoint, and we reproduce everything that happens here in that community in the vernacular for that community. So they have the same worship, same message, but different communicator, different pastor on that front. And so these are the two ways the church reproduces and multiplies into new places. And so as we were talking about this, you know, Dave Ferguson, the pastor of this church up in Chicago, Christ Community, said, you know, we have a heart for multiplication up here, but it took us 9 years to multiply. And I'm thinking, well, it's been 9 years since we multiplied here at Crosspoint. Many of you may not know that 2 years into Crosspoint, we actually helped start another church up in Pendleton named Catalyst. But since then, for 9 years, we've been in addition mode, keep adding people to our seats and growth and people connecting here, which is awesome, but we've not been reproducing out to other places. And he said, you know, we had a heart for multiplication, but we just weren't able to do it. I'm like, well, we have a heart for it. And he said, we have a value for it. I'm like, well, gosh, we have a value for it. It's actually in our 8 values. But then he said, the reason we haven't multiplied is because we didn't have a timeline. And I'm like, you know, we've talked about it, but we don't have a timeline. And so I pulled my napkin out, and I began to just draw, and I want to show you what I drew. And so here's what God began to, you know, form and kind of bring clarity to. So, you know, the time frame for some reason was 5 years. He said, you know, over the next 5 years, here's what I want you to do. And it's Jerusalem center to Judea, one concentric circle out to, you know, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Thinking concentric circles just kept floating in my mind. What does that look like? And so, you know, we're here in Hamilton County, right? And we're in the southern corner of Hamilton County. And it's like God was saying, what if over the next 5 years, you talk about multiplying and wanting to reproduce, what if over the next 5 years, you, Crosspoint, puts a church in every county? This would be Madison. This would be Tipton. This would be Clinton. This would be Boone. This would be Marion or Indianapolis area. This would be Hancock. What if over the next 5 years, Crosspoint helps either start or reproduces Crosspoint into another place in every county that touches the borders of our county? And I looked at this, and some of them would be multi-sites, some of them would be startups, and with the intent that these churches would have the DNA that over time they would reproduce into the counties that border them. So we begin to go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. And it's not that there aren't churches in those communities, but there definitely aren't churches like Crosspoint. And then on top of that, we also heard a guy by the name of A.J. Law. And A.J. is a guy that started this thing called the India Christian Mission. It's the largest church in India, the country of India. And he talked about how 60% of the world who has yet to hear about Christ is located in India and Nepal. And he said, if you want to be a part of, you know, making a dent in the kingdom, come plant a church in India and Nepal, which is very cheap, by the way. And I thought, man, we have a partnership with Serve Life, which is a local mission organization that has orphanages in India and Nepal and also trains pastors to plant new churches. And so as I was writing on the napkin, I thought, well, what if every time we produce a site here locally, we actually also put a new site on the other side of the world in India and Nepal to mirror what we're doing here locally? And so this began to become the forming vision. And by the way, as we're drawing this out, as they're talking through, okay, whatever God puts on your heart, if you look at this kind of thing that you begin to map out and you say, oh my word, I know exactly how this is going to happen, then you need to tear it up and start over because it's way too small. And I looked at this and I thought, holy cow, I have no idea how this is going to happen. I mean, God, I really feel like there's a clarity coming to things we've been working on, but this is it. And see, there's a power that happens when you write something down. This is why we ask you to do next steps every week. Because when you declare something, it's like I'm saying, okay, this is what I want to have happen. And so one of the craziest things started to happen. As I left that conference, started driving home, I just kept praying and thinking, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but this is the forming clarity you're beginning to bring around things we've been talking about. I kid you not, a week after I got home, I got a call from one of our partners that helped launch us as a church. And we'd been in conversation about a church planter that, you know, was going through assessments that we might have the opportunity to partner with. 1 week after I got home, they called and said, Kurt, he's been vetted. His assessments came back phenomenal. He's already raised some money. He's ready to launch in the greater Indianapolis area. The question is Crosspoint ready to partner with him? And of course, I'm like, are we ready? I just drew this thing down. I mean, he's in Marion County. It's like you say it's going to happen or begin to get the picture, and all of a sudden, Marion County's already working. And so get this, February 28th, just a few weeks ago, we signed the partnership covenant with United City Church and Josh Wagner, and he's going to be launching a brand new church in Midtown Indianapolis, just north of Broad Ripple, south of 465, multicultural church that we're going to be partnering with. We're going to be the sending church. And it all started because this vision began to become a reality. I said, okay, God, we're willing to do this. We don't know how it's going to happen, but we're on board. You do the work. And I just want to introduce you to Josh real quick. Take a look at Josh right here.
Crosspoint Church, hi, this is Josh Wagner. Thank you for giving me your attention for just a minute. I wanted to take just a second to let you know a little bit about my family and about the adventure that we're on. So, my name is Josh. I've been married to my bride, Nani, for almost 11 years. We have 4 children. The youngest is 10, almost 11 weeks now. So our lives are crazy. We just put our house up on the market. We live in Fishers right now, and we're moving to the northeast side, or closer to Midtown, Broad Ripple-ish area, to plant a church. United City Church is what we're calling it. This fall, we are going to be launching, and really our heart is to plant a multi-ethnic church that reconciles people to God and to one another. That we'd be preaching the gospel, living the gospel, serving the community, serving the least of these, and really bringing the kingdom of God into every aspect of Indianapolis. That is our passion, that's our heart, and we are so excited about partnering with you, Crosspoint Church, and doing this together. We are better together, and I think the Lord's gonna do something really great and exciting through you and through United City Church. So God bless you, we'll be talking soon.
Man, how cool is that? Man, let's give it up for Josh. Holy cow. Now, What does this partnership mean? You're going to hear more on this over the upcoming months, all right? But we're partnering with Multiply Indiana. Indiana Ministries is one of our partners, and CrossPoint, and we're going to be the sending church. We're going to give dollars. In fact, our Game Change campaign we're currently in, many of you made a commitment to that 2 years ago. We're rounding year two into year three. Everything in Game Change that we set aside in that for research and development for multi-site as we think about what's next, we've taken all that and said we're going to use that to fund a financial partnership to get United City off the ground. So that means if you have a Game Change commitment, it is more important than ever that we have a strong third year in this because, listen, the game is changing. The game is changing. Right? Marion County is being checked off the list of this, and it's not a checklist. It's when we commit to say, God, how can we get a part of your bigger dream? Immediately things begin to happen. Now, I also believe that some of us sitting in the seats right now, in fact, I had a conversation with somebody after Thursday night that said, God told me 4 months ago, you're to go be a part of a church plant. And she said, I just don't know where it was. And all of a sudden, I just discovered where it is. Some of you may be called to go be a part of that, to leave the seats here and go. And that's awesome. We want that. That's part of what a partnership is. And you'll hear more about how to do that, how to connect with Josh over the coming months. Now, to mirror that locally, every time we do something locally in terms of planting a church, we want to do that on the other side of the world. Get this, for $2,500, we can train a pastor, send them with a microfinance grant into a community, a microfinance grant to support themselves as they take Christ and a new church into a brand new community in India or Nepal. And so we're going to also, as we start, you know, United City, be starting a brand new church on the other side of the world. In fact, 12 pastors were just trained through Serve Life this past fall, and they are ready to go to the field. So take a look at this pastor training through Serve Life through this video.
The church is very important that we should train leaders so that they can also train their church and they can train the disciples, because we know without their equipping and them in the Word of God, they cannot really grow. The church cannot be healthy, and our one of the desire is to see the healthy church in the path. That's why we train leaders and pastors.
I tell you, yeah, you can clap for that. That's good. Now, one of those pastors may be our pastors. All right, the director, Adam, is actually over there right now meeting with them. And then you're going to hear much more on these two initiatives next weekend. But we're going to jumpstart these partnerships this week with something called Beans and Rice 2018. All right, and I want to invite you to participate in Beans and Rice Week this week. I'm going to explain a little bit of how that works. And you might be like, well, I don't like beans and rice. That's fine. The goal is to eat as cheap as possible. Beans and rice, this costs about 50 cents to put together right here. Your starter kit, you're going to get when you leave today, 50 cents. It's the cheapest form of food in the world. And part of us eating this week, those of us that participate in this and eat beans and rice, you're going to connect with 2 billion people in the world who every day, this is all they eat. In fact, they may only eat one cup of this every day as their entire sustenance. All right, we're going to go in sustenance mode so we can help give some of our abundance to jumpstarting God's kingdom being planted in new places around the world. All right, and so what we're doing is we're going to ask you, we're going to give you a starter kit, and you know, if you don't like beans and rice, just eat out of your pantry. You probably have more than 2 weeks' food in your pantry and your freezer. Try to buy as little groceries as possible this week so that you can create a savings through the week, and you can at the end of the week pool that with everybody here at CrossPoint, and when we return that, it's going to 100% go to these two initiatives. All right, and so you can choose to do this all week. You can say, man, now our kids at least, they're like beans and rice all week. Julie and I can't handle rice every day, and so we're going to be, you know, adding some other things from our fridge and our pantry as well. But at the same time, you know, you have all kinds of grace in this. The goal is to eat as cheap as possible. Don't starve yourself. Just eat, but try to eat cheap. And you can choose to do all week. You can choose to do 5 days. You could choose to say, hey, I'm going to do 2 meals a day all the way through the week. You know, lunch, I have business meetings, can't do that, but I'll eat beans and rice for breakfast with eggs and maybe throw some bacon in or something, and beans and rice for dinner. And every time you do that, you're going to create a savings off what you normally would spend, whether you're eating at home or out. So for instance, if you, you know, say you're going to go to Chick-fil-A, you know, the good old Chick-fil-A up the road. And you're going to buy a number one combo for $7.89 or whatever it is. You know, and you eat beans and rice for like 50 cents, you just create a savings of like, you know, $7.29, right? And you can save that and pool that to return to these initiatives. Or maybe you were going to go on a date night to Bongi's Tavern, you know, you and your girlfriend or your, you know, wife or husband, and you know, you're gonna spend like $92, $100, and instead you can each eat for 50 cents, and you know, all of a sudden you spend $1, add some wine if you got it at home or something, make it romantic, but you know, just save as much as possible this week, and you just created a $92 savings. You can go right into the app, and you can, you know, put it in, you can choose under the designation beans and rice, and you can either give it as you go every time you have a meal and you create a savings you can give, or you can pool it and bring it back at next weekend, and you can put it in the joy box, or you can, you know, write a check, or you can go online and give it at one lump sum, whatever. But we want to create a savings this week by eating as cheap as possible. All right, and let me show you what's going to happen with this. All right, so here's what's going to happen. Here's what our return: 100% of what we bring in next week from beans and rice will go toward multiplication. And what that means is we already have a partnership with United City, so we're already funding them out of Crosspoint Game Change to start. So the first $2,500 that comes in through Beans and Rice Week is going to go to planting our first church in Nepal. All right, that's where these 13 pastors are going to Nepal. And so first $2,500 by us sacrificing, eating on the cheaper, is going to go this way. Second $2,500 that comes in is going to go to United City Church on top of, as additional funding on top of what we're already giving them, because it costs way more to start a church here than it does over there. All right, assuming we hit 5,000, which I'm guaranteeing we will, then we'll actually, the next 2,500, get this, is going to go to start a second church in Nepal. All right, second partnership with the church, and that'll take us up to 7,500. Do you realize in the past years we've raised anywhere from $75 to $12,500 during Beans and Rice Week simply by changing our eating? So assuming we go beyond 7,500, the next 2,500 is again going to go back to United City as an additional support to them and their startup costs. And then assuming we get over 10 grand, get closer to 12,500, we're going to start a third church in Nepal simply by changing, and it's just going to go on. The question is, how many churches can we start? Simply by changing our eating habits this week and eating as cheap as possible. All right, it's going to be very exciting. And I hope you'll participate with us. In fact, on your connection card or some next steps, I want to go ahead and take that out. I want you to just decide right now, am I going to participate? Declare. There's something powerful about writing it down. You're going to turn this into us, but you're saying, hey, right here, I'm in. Now you decide how you participate. There's all kinds of grace, all right, whether it's all week or 5 days a week or whatever it might be, but I just want you to say, okay, here, and everybody's getting one meal, so I mean, we're, at least case, just do one meal, all right? We're giving you a free meal. Try to not eat out one night this week so you can give the savings and participate. Or you might be here for the first time going, oh man, this place is weird and they eat weird. That's all right. It's pretty cool too, right? So maybe your next step is just to return next weekend. And if that's your next step, man, it's a privilege. You know, we consider it a privilege if you just come back and join us again. Or maybe you want to pray for one of our partnerships here. And so that's your next step as well. Here's the thing. You know, other churches over the next week are going to be, you know, here's what they're doing. They're preparing for Holy Week, right? Next week begins Holy Week. You know what we're doing here? We're having Fart Week is what we're having. All right, I mean, that's what we're doing. There's going to be a pleasing aroma coming out of your life and your homes this week. In fact, there's even a scripture that speaks to this. Philippians chapter 4 says, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice will be pleasing to God. You know, God, you know what God is going to do this week? He's going to go, that's a group of people who love me. And what that song say, where you invest your love, that's where you invest your life, right? He's going to look at you. There's going to be some flatulence coming out of your homes this week and that even Febreze can't come against. And God's going to go, that's a Kurt Walter special, by the way, that no other pastor in town will probably say that today. All right. But God's going to smell those aromas. He's going to smell that aroma. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to go, now that is a people right there that are ruled by love. Because they're willing to sacrifice and make a small adjustment for a short period of time to create a savings so that my kingdom can go forward. All right. And so this is what we're going to do this week. And I want to pray for us as we embark on this and just ask God to awaken our hearts. Let's stand. Let me pray for us. And then we'll sing one more song. God, thank you for today. Thank you for all these people who have gathered here today. And God, I just pray that in some way, shape, or form, you've helped us see that we can be a part of this week. Whether it's one meal or multiple days a week or we're committing in on the whole thing. God, we want to be a part of something that's bigger than right here. And God, you're beginning to uncover a vision for where Crosspoint is being called to go. And God, the question is how much are we going to be in on it. So God, I just pray that you'd awaken our hearts this week to what you want to do through our lives, through our individual lives, through our eating this week. God, there is going to be an aroma in multiple ways that's going to be pleasing to you. And you're going to look down at us and you're going to say, oh man, look at those people. That is a group of people who are following and running after my heart. And God, that's the kind of people we want to be. So God, help us to see how we can engage. Thank you for inviting every single one of us into this. Doesn't matter what our spiritual background or orientation is, we can be a part of what you're doing. And we pray that you just bring clarity and give us sustenance and give us courage as we go through this week. And help us to know that we are creating a revolution. We pray these things in your name and according to your power, Jesus. Amen. All right, beans and rice week, here we come. We got one more song, and I know some of us like to go get our kids before we go, you know, before you can get out early. I just want to ask you, stay where you're at through the end. Eric's going to walk out some really important instructions on how you can participate in this week. Jesus wants you to be a part of this. We want you to participate in what he's doing. He says, when I come, and he's already come to us, he says, you will have a power that will take you from Jerusalem to Judea, from fishers to the region to the ends of the earth. All right, God has a power like a lion that's coming to us. And he says, when it comes, there's a revolution that begins in your life and out of your life. And there are people who are spiritually dead right now who are going to be coming back to life as a result of what you do this week, all right? So let's sing this out, Mark, and then we'll wrap it up.